That is one of my favorite songs because I serve a God that does not relent. Someone said to me once, I think I want to be a pastor. I said, go sit down. God hasn't called you to be a pastor because the God that I serve doesn't relent. And if he wants you to be a pastor, he's not going to leave you alone. He's going to continually tell you what he wants from you. He does not relent. And I'm very thankful that he, although I tried to run, he would not relent. But we struggle with struggle. And we learned last week, and if you missed last week's sermon, get the CD or go on Facebook or website and catch part one, because we learned that we are going to struggle. The struggle is the curse that was placed upon us since Adam and Eve. And we struggle with struggle because we don't understand struggle. We don't understand its purpose. We don't understand what God's trying to accomplish through the struggle. Marjorie and I were both born in struggle. We were both born in extreme poverty. We were both, Marjorie did not have food to eat many days, did not have clothes to wear. Hard to imagine that kind of poverty. I grew up in a little different type of poverty, in addictive houses that all the money went for alcohol and not for taking care of the family. We both grew up in broken homes. So we begin struggling, and struggle, when struggle is upon you from the very beginning, it's a little harder to get it off. But it can still be off of you. And I remember I got hurt once, and my business was going, and my business was probably about 10 years old or so, and it was going well, and we were doing financially, we were struggling to borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, but on the outlooks, it looked like we had the American dream. We had a very beautiful home. We had two cars. We had two kids. Everything looked good, like everything was good, although it was a struggle to meet our financial obligations each and every week. And then I got hurt. And I had to go through struggle. I had to lay on the couch for, it was either 4 or 5 weeks, I don't remember, that I had to lay upon the couch, and we had no savings, and we had no extra money, and we were just getting by. Unfortunately, like most of America. But it was in that struggle that I laid on that couch and had a lot of conversations with God. And you see, before the accident and after the accident is two different people. I went into the accident one way, but I came out another way. You see, I went into that accident thinking that I had to run my business. I had to do everything. I had to make all the repairs. I had to do all the remodeling. I was the only one capable of doing anything right. And I was a perfectionist, and it had to be just right. And I came out of that accident saying, I will never put myself in that position again. I will never put myself in a position where I'm laying on a couch wondering if my family's going to eat or be able to pay their mortgage. I used that struggle to change my life. I often tell you, prune yourself, or God will allow circumstances to prune you. And I said, you know what? In order for this not to happen again, I need more hands. God didn't grow no more hands. So I had to go find people with hands. And I hired them. And all of a sudden, I had to step back. Yeah, that's not how I'd do it. Here. Let me show you how to do this. And I begin to teach them to do it the way I wanted it done. And next thing you know, I had a crew of men working for me. And I Each hand did not bring in as much money as I could make with my hands, but this hand brought in this amount of money, this hand's brought in this money, this hand's brought in this money, and all of a sudden it didn't matter if I picked up a hammer or not. You have to embrace your struggle. And what if Marjorie and I had parents that had money, which we did not, but what if they came in at my accident and they said, you know what, we're going to pay your mortgage for you this month, and we're going to go buy your groceries this month, and we're going to help you, and don't worry about this, we got all your bills until you're better. I would have never changed. I would never be where I am today. That's why I tell you, we have to celebrate somebody's struggle and stop bailing them out unless God has given you direction to bail them out. God uses that struggle to change them and to adapt who they are into what He wants them to be, and you keep getting in the way. Amen. Go to God. Get on your knees and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Do you want me to help them? And sometimes God's going to say, help them. And it's not going to leave you because He's a God that doesn't relent. And if that's what He wants you to do, then do it. But stop doing it on your emotions. Stop doing it because you think it's the right thing to do. God will ask you to do something that confounds whether it's the right thing to do or not in your mind. But you do it because God told you to do it. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And there's no logic to it, but His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we looked last week at the Garden of Adam and Eve and the curses that God put upon us. I'll find my place here. And we realize that our sin has brought about our struggles. But yet God still wants to use our struggles to build our character. Now, some of the main struggles are finances, relationships, physical health, mental health, identity, addictions, business, acceptance. And there are so many more, in fact, that there are so many kinds of struggle that I would venture to say that we all struggle on a regular basis. I wrote this 2 weeks ago, so I'm a week behind. But it says, I have had a week of struggle in business. My cabinet maker, who was supposed to install the kitchen cabinets on that Monday, informed me that there would be a week delay. My painter, who was supposed to stain some mahogany windows that week, told me that there would be a week delay. My alarm guy informed me that there would be a week delay in affixing the alarm on one of my jobs. They all blame COVID, too. COVID. Your shoe's untied. COVID! My detailer, who was supposed to meet me one Monday morning that week in the morning to detail one of the cars for my clients, called me at 3:30 to let me know that he was on his way. I said, I don't think so. My plumber lost the part we ordered that we waited 6 weeks to get. He lost it. Another guy that I sent to paint two doors said he painted the two doors, and upon my inspection, I found out that he only painted one door, and the client was mad. And still worse than all of that, my very best guy went to visit his son and found him dead. It was a bad week. But because I've seen both endings of the movie, I know which ending I want. And I knew that I would not carry that same struggle in the next week. I made up my mind that if things didn't get better next week, that I was going to quote the immortal Donald Trump with his most famous words, "You're fired." I called my cabinet maker and I said, "Those cabinets will go in on Monday or you're fired." I called the plumber, "You will order that part or you will be fired." I told the detailer, "You will be there Monday morning at 8 a.m. or you're fired." He says, "Can I come at 7? You see, if you don't eliminate the struggle, then you will struggle with the struggle. Soon, it won't be an off week. It'll be a way of life. For the few that don't have struggle, it's because they've made it a way of life. It becomes a way of life when you refuse to change. For example, if you struggle with the lack of finances, I know I'm talking to you. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. If you struggle with a lack of finances and you refuse to start a savings program, an investment program, then you will continue to have a lack of finances for the rest of your life. If you refuse to change, you won't sacrifice something out of your life to turn the struggle around. You will struggle for the rest of your life. When people come in for financial counseling and I go through their budgets, it's amazing where I find money that they could invest. They're wasting it here. They're wasting it here. Now, wait a minute. You're spending $800 at Burger King and Wendy's every month. I had no idea. And that's what happens. You know? We have to live below our means in order to be successful. We keep waiting for that better day to get started. There's not a good time for anything. I've come to understand that. Another example is if you have an addiction and you refuse to change your surroundings and you want to go to where the drugs are, you want to walk into the bar, you want to walk around the old guys with the drugs, then guess what? It has become your way of life. Instead of your old friends, come hang out with us. Come out, hang out with Jimmy, Chris, Rob, Rabbi. Go ahead, pull out your crack pipe. You're still going to the hospital, but it won't be for an overdose. Listen, we're balanced in here. We can guide you spiritually or naturally. Our struggle is what led most of us to God. Or should I say, the struggle with the struggle led us to God. There's that old saying that you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. We must come to the conclusion that there's a better way. Struggle itself is not a bad thing as long as we don't hold on to it. Let's look at Romans 8, 17 and 18. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, you can change that to struggles. If indeed we share in his struggles, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Because we're supposed to come out of the struggle stronger than we've ever been. Most people consider me a strong man. Confident. Purposeful. Not wishy-washy. Not double-minded, as the book of James calls out double-minded people. When I say something, that's it. Many people get angry about that. That came from struggle. I would not be in position to lead a church had I not gone through struggles. I celebrate the struggles that I went through because it made me stronger. And I'm thankful that there wasn't somebody always there to pull me out of the fire. I had to figure it out for myself. But now look. What struggle would I have not gone through to be where I am today? I love watching people open up a business. It's hilarious to me. Hilarious. They make so many mistakes. So many mistakes. And they don't know what they're doing. But they think they know what they're doing. But they don't. Because there's only one thing that'll teach you what to do, and that's go through the struggle. Underbid a job and work for free for a week, and guess what? You might not do that again. Or it'll be a long time before you do it again. Usually you go through some time and you forget what you did, and then you do it again. And they say, oh yeah, I remember why I don't do that anymore. I don't like working for free. The Christian journey is a struggle. Because you have no clue what you're doing when you come to the knowledge of Christ. It feels good. It is good. But there's still so much old you in there. I've been at this game for a while and I'm still pushing the old me down. Don't let that old me come back out. Still so easily offended. They asked me a question Friday night. I don't know if I can remember the question, but it started out, when somebody offends you and you're mature enough to walk away. And I said, no, that's not mature at all. Mature is when you don't get offended. That's mature. So cue ball yelled at me. I don't care. I'll use it in next week's sermon. Tell me I won't. Not going to get offended because he's having a bad time. He's having a bad day. He's lost his senses. That's Pastor Donna replaying the message before she even gets home. She's struggling with her iPad. God wants us to remain strong through our struggle. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love them. What's it saying? You can't give up. You can't quit. If I upset you, just come in and say, "You upset me." Now get on the stage and preach. You don't quit. We quit on each other. And this one's avoiding that one and avoiding that one. And I'm looking around and like, you quit on each other. God said to persevere under this trial. That means hang in there. You have to stand the test. It's just a test for you to become stronger than you were. Use it. Persevere means to continue in your course of action, even in the face of difficulty. We must look to see how the struggle is working in us, how it shapes us, how it brings us to maturity. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Who can honestly say you faced a trial and you considered it joy? I don't get no calls, "Yoo-hoo, I'm really getting beat up now, praise God." No, I hear that Charlie Brown noise. Blah, 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 blah. See, how would you get through your struggle if at the beginning you sit down and said, "You know what? I don't know what God's doing, but I like it. Because I know something good is going to happen to me. I'm going to be better than I was. I'm going to get through this, and I'll be better off than I ever was. Something good about to happen." Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I want to be mature because I spent too many years in leadership in a church not mature. And I've shed a lot of blood, spiritual blood, because of it. I can't afford not to be mature. I can't afford not to forgive you for whatever foolish thing you're doing. Go ahead and talk about me. I'm going to smile. Thank you. Somebody was talking something the other day, and I said, "You know what? If I wasn't doing nothing, they wouldn't have anything to say. I'm doing something. Praise God. Let them run their mouth. What are they doing? Nothing? running their mouth. We fight struggle not knowing what we are exactly struggling with. If I have an addiction and I ask you what your struggle is, you will answer crack or coke or weed or whatever you're using as your crutch. The truth is that your struggle is with what is behind the substance. The substance isn't the struggle. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." See, you want to talk to the coke, but you don't want to talk to the one who's behind the coke. I have a sermon called Define Your Enemies. Your enemy isn't the thing you're dealing with. It's the thing that put that thing that you're dealing with in place. Get out of the sandbox and get into the boxing ring where the real fight is. Come against the evil forces. The struggle with the struggle is due to inner conflict. People may come down on you, but the truth is that you beat the hell out of yourself. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want." You are not the only one who faces inner conflict. And you say, "Well, it's because I'm an addict." No, that's not why you face inner conflict. You have inner conflict because there's an old you and there's a new you, and they're at war with each other. And they're going to stay at war with each other. Listen, I have not had a drink of alcohol since I'm 16 years old. I'm 60 years old now. That's a lot of years. I didn't say that for you to clap. What I'm trying to tell you is I still know what it tastes like. Why? How could I still taste it in my mind? Because there's an old me who doesn't like the new me. The old me wants to remind me how much I liked it, how good it was. But the new me reminds me of the despicable life that I was living and that I watched my family live. And there's an inner conflict. There's a fight. See, the old me might want to look at a picture of something, and the new me says, "We don't do that anymore. We broke that 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We don't do that no more. We're not going to do that." But see, there's the conflict inside. The Bible says that we're going to have that conflict, but we're not to do whatever we want. Do not let the flesh win your conflict. Where do you go with your struggle? First, I figure out who gave me the struggle, and then I go the opposite way. Satan gives me the struggle, so I go to God. God has some amazing things to break me and you from our struggles. My favorite, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you," which means a lot to me because what God knows is higher than what I know. What God knows is better than what you know. And God says, I know. So he has plans for me. His plans are not for me to lay and struggle my entire life. His plans are to prosper me. Why? It says so, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So right off the bat, I know that I'm not supposed to be in financial struggle. Because God had plans to prosper me. And not harm me. Plans to give me hope. Plans to give me a future. I don't know where God's taking me yet in the future, but we're not done yet. I know that. Because the Bible says so. So when you're struggling and you're thinking you're a failure, or you're thinking your business hasn't worked out, or your marriage hasn't worked out, or life's not working out, or you can't get free from that addiction, why don't you start memorizing this scripture and saying it to yourself? God's got a plan for me. I don't have to be like this. God has a plan for you, Franklin. Listen to me. He's got a plan. I don't know what the plan is, but I'm telling you, brother, it's not going to be in the gutter. It's going to take you somewhere that you're never going to believe. How can I say that to you? Because I am you. I never in a kabillion years would have ever thought I'd be on a stage of a church talking about how good God is. And now I do it every week. Sometimes 3-4 times a week. Because he had plans for my future that I couldn't see. Because I couldn't get past the struggle that I was in. Psalms 18:19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He doesn't delight in your struggle. He'll use it to accomplish his will. But he delights in your freedom. He wants to rescue you. He'll send you out a lifeline. Franklin will say, a lot of times he'll say, we have been his lifeline. We help pull him out. I don't take full credit for it, but we had a part in it. Who are you pulling out? Stop looking down on people and give them a hand. Stop telling people what they can't do and show them how to get it done. I love mentoring small business owners. I wrote a contract for somebody yesterday. I came into the office and wrote a contract. Why? Because I love mentoring small business owners. That excites me. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Why does it say that? Because you lost your strength. You don't have to renew what you already have. You have to renew that which you've lost. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We're going to be empowered. 2 words I hate in the English language more than any other words is I'm tired. I'm tired. Accompanied by its sister, you look tired. And you're ugly. So what? Don't tell me I look tired. You're not going to like the response I give you. I'm not tired. I'm just getting started. Psalm Psalms 91, 11, and 12, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I don't walk alone. Everywhere I go, I take God's angels, my two best friends, Smith and Wesson. I'm balanced. My sensor's going to yell at me all the way home now. Listen, I didn't say that. God said it. I don't know what I said, honey. Please forgive me. I walk with angels. I have divine protection. They will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. They're going to guard me in all of my ways. I'm guarded. What do I have to struggle about? When Nigel comes, I hope you'll come. It's the 6th of November, yes? Nigel Lewis will be here, and he has this song. It's called If God. I love that song. If God is standing by my side, then why should I be afraid of the pestilence? If God is standing by my side, if God is standing by your side, why be afraid of the struggle? I'm out of time, but I got four more. Can I do four more? Maybe five. Romans 38, 8, 38, 39. For I am conceived that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, you can do whatever you want to me. You can stone me like the old days. You can hang me on a cross upside down. You can do whatever you want. You can send me to an operating table. You will not separate me from the love of God. That you can't do. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Your struggle is not going to destroy you. You think it's the end of the world. It's not going to destroy you. It says when you walk through the flames, it will not set you ablaze. It's saying that when you're in struggle, it's not going to destroy you. You're going to get through. You've been through how many struggles? Can you count them? What makes you think the next one's the one? I see most of you ain't missed many meals. I'm not going to point you out. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And please don't take that out of context. Because God's holy. God ain't touched sin but one time. And that's when Jesus took upon the sin of the world to free you from it. And God turned his back from Jesus for the first time in his life since all of eternity. And Jesus couldn't find God and he screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? He wasn't worried about dying on the cross. He already knew in 3 days he would live again. You don't worry about what you know you're going to overcome. But he had never faced separation from his father before. He was separated. Yeah. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But I also say this. I have no intentions of leaving my wife, but I'm not with her all the time. Sometimes she goes to the stores, and I don't want to go. Or I go to work, and she don't want to go. Doesn't mean we'll leave each other, but we're not together all the time. People think they can smoke the drugs and drink the drink, and the Holy Spirit's inside of them. The Holy Spirit ain't sharing your joint. You got to be kidding me. What is wrong with you? He's not sucking in your nicotine just because you are. Doesn't mean he left you, but he's not with you. He ain't going into the strip club with you. He'll be out there waiting for you to come out. He ain't going in with you. We think we can manipulate God to be who we want him to be instead of standing up and seeing who he is, and we better be the ones that manipulate ourselves to be who he wants us to be. I get in so much trouble for saying that. And yet I continue to say it. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I love that. I ask God why sometimes people aren't healed. He said, what are you talking about? They're fine. They're with me. They're healed. See, he didn't tell you what side of eternity you're going to get healed on. What he said is, you will be healed. And he chooses which side of eternity to heal you on. But the bottom line for you is it doesn't matter, because if you're healed here, you can live more for Christ. And if you're healed there, you're with Christ. Either way, you win. Jesus said it's finished on the cross. Means I've done all that I'll ever need to do. I've done it all. I've prepared everything. And he has prepared my healing. And because of his wounds, I'm a healed man. I don't care what it looks like to you. I'm healed. Sometimes God just... That clock is just not my friend. I am so sorry. Don't stop me when I'm preaching good. Sometimes God heals me miraculously. Jeff's a nurse. I bled out. How many of you seen bled out walking around? How many? One. Me. You see, God chose to heal me miraculously that day. And then I have another illness that I have to take medicine for. God chose to heal me with the medicine until he chooses something else. I'm healed. Without the medicine, I'll die, but I'm healed because I have the medicine. God gave me the medicine. God gives me surgeons. God gives me doctors. Sometimes God just does what he does. It's up to him how he does it, but by the wounds of Jesus, I am healed. I proclaim healing. I believe in healing. I believe that if you're sick, I can lay my hands on you and you will be healed. Why? I've watched hundreds, if not thousands, of people get healed by being prayed for. Many in this room today. Two more. I'm down to two. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" God, are you in my struggle? Yeah, you are. Let's do this. I'll close with 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I know it's talking to you. You need me. That new shiny car is talking to you, but you can't afford the payment. That line of coke is talking to you, but you can't afford to snort it. And what's God saying? He says, come taste, and I'll get you out of it. I'll bring something back to remembrance in your mind where you'll be able to stand against it. That's why you stay in church. That's why you don't quit. So you can get precept upon precept. So you can get block among block. To strengthen you in the time when the devil's got you in the corner. He's got your back to the wall. He's got you. You're down. He's telling you you're falling for it. And then all of a sudden you remember, wait a minute. Wait a minute. For I know the plans God has for me. To prosper me. I hope you'll look at struggle in a new way. And I hope you understand that sometimes people have to struggle to get beyond themselves. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you're in control of our lives. We give you our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen.